Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Good morning and welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church in Little Rock, Arkansas. We are so thankful that you have chosen to worship with us online today. Wherever you may be, however you may be dressed, we are thankful that you are with us and we pray that this time of worship is a blessing to you. I'm Nick Schimmer. I'm one of the pastors here at Asbury. My colleague is Brother Hammett Evans. He'll be bringing today's message here in a little bit. We are continuing on with our series called Lifelong Learning. We are in the book of Acts, and we are looking at all the ways that God continues to shape us and transform us and teach us new things. Today, Brother Hammett is going to examine how God brings us together across lines of taste and culture. We sure are thankful that you are here, and we'd love to know that you are here. So when you have an opportunity, feel free to scan the QR code to log your attendance, or you are welcome to comment on YouTube or Facebook, whether you're watching live with us here at 11 a.m. Central Time, or if you're catching this later on in the week. We hope that this service is a blessing to you, and we'd love to know that you are here. As we bring our hearts and minds together for worship, let me open us with a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give thanks to you for this day, for this opportunity to gather. We invite you among us, God, with the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Move amongst us in our spaces, in our places. Meet us where we are to transform us, God, to be the image of Christ that you call us to be in this community. We know that you are alive and well among us, that you are going to use the scripture, the message, and the music to penetrate deep into our hearts, to transform us so that we may be disciples in the kingdom building effort that you call us to. We ask all this in your son's holy name. Amen. I'd like to now introduce Nicole Rose, who is our director of children and young families, as she has today's children's message.
Good morning, Asbury. I'm Nicole Rose. I'm the children's director here, and I'm so excited that I get to talk to you all this morning. I have something here. I have a jigsaw puzzle. And I love puzzles, and this one is a big one. It has lots of pieces. So jigsaw puzzles can be a lot of fun. Inside, there's lots of pieces, 1,000 of them, and all of these pieces are different sizes, different shapes, different colors. And if you look at just one piece of this puzzle, it's really not that important. But when you put it all together, it makes a really awesome picture. This picture right here. And the jigsaw puzzle can teach us an important lesson. So our world and our church, it's made up of lots of different people. People that are really different. They're different sizes, different shapes, different colors, different ages. And Jesus prayed that all of those people would come together and be one. And when we're one, we show the world God's love. Well, you and I are a part of that. We're a little piece of that. And when we get together and we come together, it's really powerful. Sometimes, though, people have a hard time coming together, especially sometimes if people are different than them. They don't want to come together and be one. But that's what God asked us. That's what Jesus prayed for. So that's the right thing for us to do. We've got to come together and be one, even when it's hard. Just like this puzzle, it's kind of hard to put that together. It takes a while. But you still do it because that is what Jesus prayed for us to do. So when we come together, we put the pieces together, we get to see the whole picture. We get to see God's love. We get to love each other, serve each other. And that's how other people see God's love in us when they see us doing that together. So remember that Jesus prayed that we would be one. And when we are one and we're bound together by Christ's love, then the world gets to see that through us. And that's a pretty powerful and cool thing. Okay? Let's pray together. Dear Father, help us to be one together. Help us to come together and love each other even when people are different than us. And help us to show God's love to others. Amen. See you next week.
Thank you, Nicole, for that wonderful message for our children and for all of us as adults. You know, sharing is such an essential part of our life in Christ. And we know that your gifts are a blessing to our church here at Asbury. And so I want to invite you to support our ministries in any way that you are moved. If you'd like to give, there are three ways that you can do that. The first is by mail, sending a check to 1700 Napa Valley Drive here in Little Rock. You can go to our website, www.asbury-lr.org/donate, and you can give that way. Or you can text to give by texting Asbury UMC to 73256. All gifts are truly a blessing to this church, and they go to further the mission and ministries of Asbury. And now I invite you to join Diana and Caleb as they share the song Spirit of the Living God.
When you speak, when you move. Grace to you and peace. Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Hammett Evans, the senior pastor. In our lifelong learning series, we're looking at folks who had seismic shifts in their thinking. Today, we're looking at Peter's vision in Joppa. I invite you to read along as Tristan shares God's word with us.
Our scripture reading today is Acts 11, 1 through 18. The apostles and the brothers and sisters throughout Judea heard that even the Gentiles had welcomed God's word. When Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him. They accused him, "You went into the home of the uncircumcised and ate with them?" Step by step, Peter explained what had happened. "I was in the city of Joppa praying when I had a visionary experience. In my vision, I saw something like a large linen sheet being lowered from heaven by its four corners. It came all the way down to me. As I stared at it, I wondered what it was. I saw four-legged animals, including wild beasts, as well as reptiles and wild birds. I heard a voice say, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I responded, 'Absolutely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice from heaven spoke a second time, 'Never consider unclean what God has made pure.' This happened three times, then everything was pulled back into heaven. At that moment, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were staying. The Spirit told me to go with them, even though they were Gentiles. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered that man's house. He reported to us how he had seen an angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and summon Simon, who is known as Peter. He will tell you how you and your entire household can be saved.' When I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them, just as the Spirit fell on us in the beginning. I remember the Lord's words, 'John will baptize with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, then who am I? Could I stand in God's way?" Once the apostles and other believers heard this, they calmed down. They praised God and concluded, "So then God has enabled Gentiles to change their hearts and lives so that they might have new life. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God."
God of us all, we pray now that you will pour out your Holy Spirit on each one of us, wherever we are gathered, so that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, you who are our strength and our friend, our rock and our redeemer. And the people of God said, Amen. I never realized what a barrier food is until I lived overseas. Right after we got married, Michelle and I lived in England for a year. For our Arkansas friends, that's England across the pond, not England, Arkansas. Some of those food barriers are simply semantic. You know, someone said America and England are two nations divided by a common language. You know, somebody invites you over for tea, and you expect a nice cup of black English tea with some milk, perhaps, and a biscuit or two, you know, what we call cookies. You arrive at their home, and you realize that the family has invited you for dinner. Your host says, "By the way, we're having steak and kidney pudding tonight," and your American stomach churns. After a delightful conversation and a prayer to bless the meal, you move into the dining room. There's a delightful smell coming from the kitchen, braised beef and stout. Dinner is served. On your plate, you spot mashed potatoes and roasted vegetables that look delicious. There in the middle, there's a tall pastry shaped like an upturned bowl. Fork in left hand, knife in right. When in Rome, you cut into it. This thick brown stew pours out, steamy hot. You take that first bite. It turns out that pudding can mean dessert, or it can be any dish that's steamed or boiled, or a dish that used to be. That was the best upside-down pot pie this Arkansas boy has ever tasted. The food barrier works both ways, though. I mean, you know what makes British stomachs turn? Peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Again, some of that's semantic. The British call jelly jam, and they call Jell-O jelly. They put jelly, Jell-O, on ice cream. I tried that once and it's delicious. You should try it yourself. A peanut butter and jello sandwich sounds pretty gross to me too. But they were still grossed out when I would explain that it was a peanut butter and jam sandwich. You see, British folks don't mix savory foods like peanut butter with sweets like jam. They don't even put things like that on the same plate together. One of my English friends told me that he liked peanut butter with salad cream. Now, if you've never had salad cream, just imagine a peanut butter and Miracle Whip sandwich. Now, I've actually tried peanut butter and salad cream on a sandwich, and it's really not that bad. Now that I've whetted your appetite, let's dig into our scripture reading for today. This story is one of the most important stories in the whole Bible. Many of you know that the same author wrote Luke and Acts. Luke takes longer to tell this story than he takes to tell Jesus' death and resurrection. And it's so important that he tells the story twice. Once in great detail in chapter 10 of Acts, and then he turns right around and tells it again in chapter 11, as if to say, just in case you missed it. For Luke, this story is more important than anything else because it shows us what Jesus' death and resurrection mean for people of different ethnicities. Luke begins the story with a guy named Cornelius. Cornelius was a Roman centurion who lived in the seaport town of Caesarea. He and his family were God-fearers. These were non-Jewish people who were drawn to the Jewish faith. They read the Hebrew Bible, they participated in Jewish rituals, they supported Jewish synagogues financially, but they had not fully converted to Judaism. That required circumcision and strict adherence to the law of Moses. That included eating kosher. One day, Cornelius had a vision. A messenger from God came to thank him for all of his prayers and for practicing justice. Then the angel said a man named Peter was staying in Joppa and that Cornelius should send some men to fetch him. Meanwhile, in Joppa, Peter had a vision of his own. While his friends were fixing dinner, he went up on the roof to pray. As Peter prayed, the aromas rose from the kitchen below and the sky opened up above him. Down came a large linen tablecloth. Upon the tablecloth were all kinds of animals, the kinds of animals Peter's parents and rabbis taught him that he should never eat or even touch. Why not? Well, the ancient Hebrews believed that you are what you eat. The book of Leviticus goes into great detail about that. Through Moses, God said that some foods were clean or normal. Anybody could eat those foods. Other foods were holy or set apart. Only holy people, the priests, could eat those. And some of those holy foods were reserved only for God. Other foods were considered unclean or abnormal or weird. Nobody was supposed to eat the weird stuff. If you did, you became unclean too. You had to go through a time of purification, and then you had to go to the temple and sacrifice something that was clean so that you could become clean once again. Well, right then, at that moment, a voice said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." Peter believed that you are what you eat, and he wasn't about to become unholy. So he shouted back, "No way, I've never eaten anything unholy or unclean." The voice spoke again, "You must not defile what God has made clean." But Peter still refused. The messenger said it again. Peter still wasn't having it. The messenger repeated it a third time, "You must not defile what God has made clean." Then the tablecloth rose and vanished into the sky. Now at that very moment, the three men Cornelius, the centurion, had sent, knocked on the door below. The Spirit prompted Peter to accept their invitation. He went downstairs to meet them and invited them to stay for dinner and spend the night. Now this was customary for Jews back then. If strangers showed up at your door in the evening, didn't matter if they were Jewish or not, you were expected to invite them in for dinner and spend the night. And when you ate dinner together back then, you became family. In fact, if the strangers ever came through town again, you expected them to come and stay with you. Your feelings would be hurt if they did not. However, if you were a Jewish traveler, you really wanted to find a Jewish family because Gentiles ate unclean foods. You might come into contact with them, and you certainly couldn't eat them. The next morning, everybody gets up, and after breakfast, they head to Caesarea. They arrive at Cornelius' home around sundown, just in time for dinner. Cornelius welcomes them and invites Peter and his companions to come inside and meet his family and friends. Peter enters the door, and he tells them how shocking that is. He says, "You all realize that it is forbidden for a Jew to associate or visit with foreigners." Once again, that's because they were concerned about coming into contact with something that would make them ritually unclean. But then Peter says, "But God has shown me that I should not call anyone unholy or unclean." Peter asks Cornelius to relate his vision to him, and once he's finished, Peter says, "You know, I'm learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. Rather, in every nation, God accepts whoever worships him and practices justice." And there's the seismic shift. That's the moment when Peter learned that God does not play favorites. God doesn't have a favorite nation or prefer one language or race or diet. It isn't that those things don't matter, they do. But God does not prefer one over any other. Now, Peter explains that this is what Christians mean when we say Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Then he starts to preach. The sermon is very similar to the one that he preaches on the day of Pentecost. But this time, he explicitly mentions that he and the other disciples ate and drank with the risen Christ. Remember, when you ate and drank with someone, you became a part of their family. Peter is saying that Christ welcomed us into his family, and now we invite you into ours. As Peter preached, just like Pentecost Day, the Holy Spirit fell on everyone there. All began to praise God in different languages. Peter's companions were astonished when these non-Jewish foreigners received the Holy Spirit. Peter said, "They have received the Holy Spirit just like us. Let's start baptizing everybody." You know, baptism is our way of welcoming people into God's family. So you see, that day, God told Peter not to let his personal tastes get in the way of welcoming outsiders into God's family. God was saying, don't let your personal preferences get in the way of sharing the gospel with people who haven't heard it yet. Wear whatever clothes you need to wear. Eat whatever you need to eat. Do whatever it takes to let people know how much I love them, that they are a part of my family. When Michelle and I first got to England all those years ago, we tried to learn as much as we could about our British friends and their culture. We visited all the historic sites. We attended things like harvest festivals, community events, and in holidays like Guy Fawkes, Fireworks Day. When our friends saw our interest in them, they started asking about us. As November neared, they became very curious about Thanksgiving. What is Thanksgiving? Well, it's kind of like a harvest festival, but it's later. What do you celebrate? Well, we're kind of thankful that we got away from y'all. How do you celebrate? Well, we get together with our families and we eat, and then we all go in the den and watch TV. What do you eat? They would ask. We told them our family's favorites, Michelle's mom's dressing and her pink stuff, my granny's broccoli cheese casserole and pecan pie. One of our dear friends realized that when Michelle and I talked about Thanksgiving, we became very homesick. And so she asked if they could host a Thanksgiving meal at the church with us. We said, sure, we think that's a wonderful idea. She said there would be a sizable crowd, and so some of the ladies from the church would help Michelle prepare the meal. Thank goodness for that. So we called and got the recipes from Michelle's mom and my granny. The ladies came over to the house to review the recipes once we got them together and translated them into British measuring. It was hilarious. How much is a stick of butter? English butter doesn't come in sticks. What is cheese whiz? We tried to explain it. They said, will cheddar do? No, it's not the same. I still don't understand how an entire civilization can survive without Cairo syrup, Velveeta, and Kraft macaroni and cheese. But with a little help from the commissary at the nearby American Air Base, we pulled the meal off. Some friends brought us some Thanksgiving decorations, and they brought us Lipton iced tea bags when they came to visit. You know, the English say there's nothing worse than cold tea. I made about 6 gallons for them to try. Well, the day comes, and there were about 50 or 60, maybe even 70 of us gathered there for Thanksgiving. We circled up like we do at Granny's house, and we held hands, and we went around the room, each one of us saying one thing that we were thankful for that year, and then the meal began. There were mishaps. The servers poured gravy over the whole plate, which is what they would do. Sweet potato casserole with gravy, it ain't that great. But again, they don't put sweet and savory foods on the same plate. They didn't know. After the meal, we did what we do at home. We went into the other room and watched TV. We showed our British friends a couple of old Schoolhouse Rock episodes. They had a lot of questions after that. Great questions. As we closed with prayer, it hit me. These new Christian friends, with all their different tastes and speech and culture, were family. It felt like heaven, and we were thankful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and the people of God said, Amen. As we enter a time of prayer, I invite you to put any prayers that you have on your heart in the comments or in the chat. Let us pray. God, we do thank you for bringing us together, for uniting us across the lines of culture and taste. You break down all of the walls that we build between ourselves, and you unite us as one people through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, we lift up Christians throughout the world who are suffering right now, and we pray that they will be a witness to your love and to your grace by the ways that they live and the ways that they die. We pray for your world. Lord, there are so many concerns right now on our hearts, things that are happening. We pray for all of those who are affected by the transition going on in Afghanistan. We pray for safety. We pray for release. We pray for peace. God, we also lift up all of those who are sick or who are in special need of your grace, those that we name in our hearts and those in our own congregation. We lift up Clifford Smith. We pray for Jesselyn Sinkhorn. We pray for June Glazier, Betty Hill, Fred Williams, Barbara Clark, Craig Cogbill, June Counts, Patty Shoemaker, Joe Odell, Lanny Langley, Nate Hill, Todd Mead, and Tiffany Kate Kahayov on the death of her mother, Carolyn Sledge. We also lift up the family of Reverend Ben Jordan, a retired pastor in our annual conference. Lord, we pray for these and all of the saints. And we pray also for our doctors and nurses and all of those who work in healthcare who are trying to deal with the COVID-19 pandemic. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those who are dying. We pray for those who are reluctant about taking the vaccine. More than anything, God, we pray that you will soften our hearts, fill them with compassion for all of our brothers and sisters, so that one day we might truly be united as one human family by the grace of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to continue in prayer as Diana and Caleb share the hymn, Help Us Accept Each Other.
Help us accept each other. your acceptance change us so that we may be moved in living situations to do the truth in love, to practice your acceptance until we know by heart the table of forgiveness and laughter.
Thank you for joining us today, and thanks to everyone who took part in this service. Today we saw how Peter's understanding of who belonged in God's family expanded beyond the limits of taste and culture. We invite you to come back next Sunday as we see Philip's encounter with a man who was banned from the temple for other reasons. If this service blessed you, I encourage you to share it with somebody else. And now please receive this blessing. Go forth with Christ. With Christ above you to be your guide, with Christ below you to hold you up, with Christ beside you to be your friend, and with Christ within you to give you hope, love, joy, and peace. Go forth with Jesus Christ, your Lord. And the people of God said, Amen.